Blog Talk Radio.
Tell you.
on, praise him out loud right where you are worshiping. Hallelujah. 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 You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Father God. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Welcome to Reaching Out Radio. This is your host, evangelist, Edward Eberly. The name of the program that I host here is called God's Word in Action. God's Word in Action. I'd like to welcome everybody here this evening, and I just thank God for all that are here. And I just want to remind you that this program tonight is designed not only to teach you and the teachings that the Lord lays in my heart, but I expect God to move in your life and whatever need that you have. And that's where you need to be also. Because I pray and I believe and I agree that God is going to move to listeners of this program and whatever need that they have. He just wants to meet you where you're at. He says in Psalms 46:1 that he's a very present help of time of need of trouble in our lives. He's a very present help in need in time of trouble in each and every one of our lives. So come with that expectation, that attitude. Always come expecting for God to minister to you right where you're at, whatever that need might be. And God won't disappoint you because your expectation is God's invitation. Okay, this evening we're going to do part three of God's Promises from Foundation to Finish, part three. We have four parts. Next week we'll end the series right here. But I want to remind you all that part one and part two, if you haven't heard it, you can go on the on-demand section and listen to it because they're progressive in nature. It's not going to hurt if you like listen to the third one and you go back to the first one. But still, it's good to have them sequenced because that really helps you. But these words that God has given me to speak in this teaching right here are words that he has given for his body. That's for each and every one of us because we need to adhere to these things. Because, you know, just like the name of this program, God's Word in Action, when we take action on God's Word, that's when he takes action in our lives, you see. And it's a verb. It's an action word. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:20 that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, you see, in manifestation, things and results, things that he works in our lives, you see. It isn't just a bunch of talk or a lot of words, but it's in reality for our personal lives. And that's where we need to look at the promises of God. Before we get into God's word tonight, I'm going to ask that you all just bow your heads with me right now. And let's just agree together that God will move in this service tonight. He'll give me the words to say, and he will just move in your life and just meet you where you're at, and everybody else is listening right now. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you. We just want to lift up the name of Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We magnify you. You're our Lord and our Master, Lord. Father, tonight I just ask that you would anoint me, Lord. Just speak through me the words that you would have me to speak. And, Lord, just deal with the hearts as you would desire to, Lord. Meet the needs of those out there. First of all, Lord, if it be one that's lost there, Lord, just bring him or her to you, Lord. We ask you to just draw them to you now, those that are lost, Father. And those that are sick in body, sick in various areas of their life, and their finances, and their families, whatever the need might be, Father, we're just believing now that they are healed. Because, Lord, you said in your word that you sent forth your word to deliver us from our destructions and out for those things that be trying to destroy us. So, Father, I just ask that you would move in a mighty way tonight to your people right now and show yourself very strong, Father. And for everything that's accomplished, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. And you all said, amen. Okay, this evening, before I get into the message, I would like to announce something. Last week, I always listen to the message after I speak it, and this very rarely happens, but it happened last week. There was a scripture that I quoted it right, but I just said the wrong location for it. I quoted 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, which it wasn't a verse that I read and went through, but it was one that I was speaking about interpretation and reading things, and I quoted another verse, and that's how I misquoted it. But it should be Luke 10:19-20, and this is what it says. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. It should have been Luke 10:19-20 instead of 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. We're going to be covering this verse tonight, but I just wanted to tell you that last week, what happened last week. And one more that I gave the mislocation. I said Romans 8:16, and it should have been Romans 8:13. And here's how that scripture goes. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And I just love that scripture. You know, there's many things that you and I at times have to overcome, had to overcome, and are maybe still working on to overcome in our life. But, you know, this tells us that through the Holy Spirit, we dead in the deeds of this body. We die to our flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our willpower of making a New Year resolution, but by just making a quality decision that, hey, we want to give up this or we want to take up this because we know it's pleasing to God. And by the Holy Spirit, when we mean business to do that, He empowers us to do it. I found this to work over the years in any way, from quitting smoking to any other bad habit or thing that I shouldn't do. That's how I quit smoking many, many years ago. I came to the place that I said, hey, I'm giving up 100%. I want to give it up. I'm tired of it. I don't want to do it anymore. And that's when the Holy Spirit gave me the strength to do it. Matter of fact, I even had like a withdrawal pain, especially on a Sunday when I'd eat a nice meal on Sunday. My wife would cook, and usually after that nice meal, I'd like to light up a cigarette. And I felt that temptation come to me at times right there, and I said, Lord, I gave this to you, and you said you would take it from me. And I could feel the desire and that hunger and wanting to grab a cigarette just leave my body. It just left my body where I didn't have that desire. Then after a while, it never mattered anymore. It didn't bother me at all. But when you remind him of those things, he says, put me in remembrance at times. We have to put him in remembrance because he promises to do that. And anyhow, no matter what you're doing, whatever you have need of, when you give that to him and you mean business, he enables you to conquer it. That's why you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that loves you. So that, praise God, that's just a little nugget that I thought I would put in there before we get on to the promises of God now. Tonight we're going to start part three, and our title is God's Promises from Foundation to Finish. And of course, the first two were basically foundation, and even more than that, but yet this foundation, the first one and the second one was promises, various promises that you can hear when you listen back on those tapes. But the next two are going to be promises of provision. Now, 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay? God is giving us everything through Jesus Christ. When he died upon the cross, every promise we have need of, that he knew that we would need in our spirit, soul, and body, because he knew what we'd be facing, and he made the provision by his promises that we could be victorious, overcomers, and fruitful, and prepared for the next life. So he gave us everything. We're lacking nothing, lacking nothing. But there's one thing you're going to have to remember, and this is a very important thing to really keep in mind. Many times we can look at the Lord as like a big Santa Claus in the sky, is what some people might say in the world, or somebody just up there, the granddaddy, just going to hand you things, and I promise you this, I'm going to pat you on the head and give you this. Well, God has these promises for us, but have you ever noticed when you read the Bible, it says in him or in Christ. It's in Christ that we have these promises, and in relationship. We can't be living one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus and playing games with God and expect these things to work for us. There's a lot of people now say, well, I believe these things you're talking about didn't happen to me. Well, many times we didn't meet the condition of that, and the main condition of that is to be in Christ, in a relationship with him. And we don't get in a relationship with Christ and fall in love with Christ and serve him because of what we can get from him, you see. we ask him, what can we do for him? What can we do? What does he want us to do? What is his plans for us? When we develop that love relationship with him and we follow him and just let him love us and minister to us, then we become perfect in love. The Word of God says in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love, God's perfect love casts out all fear. But those that don't have the fear cast out of them are not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. But those that don't have that fear out of them, they don't have perfect love. So you see, fear has to leave us when we have that perfect love of Jesus in our hearts, you see. These promises will work when we have faith in that love of Christ in our hearts. Because in that love, he even says if we love him, in the book of John, he said we will have joy, and our joy will be full, and it will be a lasting joy. There again, there's relationship. So he's always telling us that through relationship and love and obeying his commandments, loving God with our heart and soul and our neighbors, ourselves, he said, with all this, he said, you'll have these things, you see. But that's a condition. You see, that comes along with it. But if we think that we can just do as we please and live as we want and say, well, Lord, I'm going to claim this, I'm going to claim that, it doesn't work that way. But it begins with a relationship. But I want to make sure that's understood, because there's too many things today that people think that people owe them a living and they want to shortcut everything and everything they wanted yesterday. And it's sort of like a microwave world. And that isn't the way God works. So he works the way he works it, you see. We go with God's plan. He doesn't go with ours. He's never asked me yet. He never said, well, Ed, what do you think we ought to do about this? He's never asked my opinion. He just tells me. He doesn't ask me. He tells me, you see. And that's what God does. He leads us by his Holy Spirit. He never asks us in a sense of what. He's the one that gives yours. He's the one that knows. You and I don't know, you see. His ways and thoughts aren't our ways and thoughts. They're above our ways and thoughts. Okay, this evening, I'm going to get into a teaching that I spoke maybe a few weeks ago, and the Lord just brought this to me. A couple weeks ago, he gave me the answer to it, which I spoke on a prophetical promise that he had given me over 30 years ago. And I want to bring that up again this evening, because this is special. This is a prophetic word for the day that you and I are living. This is a thus saith the Lord word for each and every one of us. And it starts in Habakkuk 2, chapter 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end it will surely speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And that appointed time of the vision is now. He gave that to me some 30 years ago, along with two other scriptures I'll be reading here about something. And I never knew the timing on that thing, but the timing is now. And he gave me another scripture. Behold, you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you shall not believe, though it be told you. God is getting ready to do a work, a revival, and a move that you and I wouldn't believe if he told it to us, is what he's saying right here. It's that great, you see. It's such a great thing happening. I know many of you are out there now, and you say, yes, I've heard that. I know that. That is true. There again, this is given to me probably 20-some years ago by top elder of a major minister that was with him everywhere he went. And this is a man of credibility. And when I was speaking at his area where he was, I was ministering, and anyhow, he came up and gave me this thing. He was really excited about it. I know this is not just for me, but this is for the body. This is for the remnant. This is remnant word. And it isn't just for what I got. It's not just for me, but it's for those that have an ear and will listen to it, you see. If you have an ear and you hear it, it's yours, you see. So what you have, you will receive. You will know it. You will know what I'm saying here. It isn't something that would be taught to you. You'll know that you know and you know her. Okay, Joel 2, verse 25 through verse number 29, it says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed. Okay? He said, you've been stolen from for many years. It could be health, finances, family, friendship, ministry, marriage, all types of things that the enemy has stolen from every one of us. And we all have to say yes to that. But God said, I'm going to restore to you. That's why now he's restoring health to people. He's restoring wealth, finances. He's restoring families, marriages. Wherever you and I are hurting and having lack, it's really been a hindrance and a harm to us and pinning us down or a burden to us or weighing us down, you see, that has really held us back from going forth into full speed the way God wants. He is setting us free now from this. He says, and you will know that I'm in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed, which means disappointed. Now, so you see, God is preparing us in our flesh. He's preparing us, our spiritual man, to where we need to be spiritually, to have a strong foundation that we're going to be able to stand and go forward in our strength that he gives to us. And we're going to have the ability to have the wisdom and how to deal with things and have the ability to stand, not to fall or get hit and fall down. But you see, he's building a strong foundation in our lives. You see, he's providing for us through the natural things and building a strong foundation and giving us a greater anointing, a greater understanding. When we go forth, we're going to be mighty warriors of God as we go forward like never before. And he says here, and this is what I like, this verse right here. He says in the 28th verse, he says, and it shall come to pass afterward, after these things, he said, then I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, daughters shall prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men shall have visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in these days will I pour out my spirit. Now, you've heard that scripture before. That's been very familiar, and we've equated it to today and yesterday and a year or two ago. But you see, we're in a time right now, we're in a time that is beyond the time that we were in before in year 2016. We're in a timing that God is, well, in fact, it's a jubilee year. It's a jubilee upon a jubilee year. It's what we're experiencing, plus ending the four blood moons. And there's other things I'm not going to get into, but everything is really pointed here. And it's pointed at this very time. In fact, Pentecost Sunday back almost 2 weeks ago began many of these things that are going on right now in Jewish teachings, what it is for the day. So these great things are coming upon us right now. So this is very encouraging. This is a very encouraging thing because we have a great future laying ahead of us. The world would seem dismal now. You know, when you look at the world situation and what you hear around the world, wars and the political situations, and you name it, everything you hear seems to be a downer. What in the world's going to happen next? Oh, my, we're going to have a war. Oh, my, everything's going to collapse. The finances, everything's going down. We're hearing all the negativity. It appears like the worst time in the world. But yet, for us as Christian people, it's the greatest time in the world because when the enemy comes in, then like a flood, God raised up a standard against him. And that's exactly what he's doing now. Hell has hit harder than ever before now, but God is blessing and going to come in like never before also to top that out, you see. So that's what's going to happen. And amongst this, there's three other scriptures I'm going to read to you that God gave me this many years ago. He said in Psalms 91, 8 through 10, he said, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. So in other words, you will see these things happen. You'll see these diseases. You'll see this poverty. You'll see hell hit the door of many people, but it will pass over you, you see, just like it passed over. The blood is on your doorpost and your door panel. And what's happening is, the reason that's going to happen, it said in the ninth verse there, he says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Now notice he said, because you have made the Lord your refuge and your habitation. Now you notice he didn't say a place you visit once in a while or an occasional visit or a yearly vacation. He said, you're going to live here. He said, where you live, because you've lived in my presence, because you've served me, you and I have had an intimate relationship, you're going to see these things and you're not going to be part of them. I'm going to protect you because you live with me, you see. Get that word, habitation. You live with me. You dwell there, you see. Psalms 91:1 says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So you and I need to dwell in his presence, folks. That's what this is about, a close relationship with Jesus, a close, intimate relationship with him, because this is what brings forth promises. You see, these promises are conditional, because you notice how it's said there, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation, my place of living, my address, not the world, not the system, not the things of the world, but my address is in heaven. I'm already seated in heavenly places, according to God's word. God's word tells us we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this is where we live our life out of, the heavenly places, not of what we see in this world or this earth or what people say in this world. The 10th verse says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And it can be like critters, it can be bugs, it can be disease or anything. We have seen this happen. In fact, we had this happen the other day. We had ants that was coming on our counter in our home, and we claimed the scripture over that. And there's like a whole lot of little ants come in, you know, and everything, and there'd be fly ants. So my wife and I just claimed this particular verse and just bound this thing, just cast it up. This is a curse, and got rid of it. Of course, we haven't seen any since that time. So you can use this whenever, even your house. I can give more testimonies. Even kept mice out of the house, or where it lives, snakes from coming around, and in the midst of where you are, it protects you. It works. This word works, you say. So we have to recognize that when we, if we're serving God, we have an intimate relationship with Him. He's our Father, and we say, Dad, I'm claiming this right here. And he said, okay, son, daughter, I'll do this for you. We have to have this kind of relationship. It's not just a getting down there and speaking talk and just getting wowed and going on in a frenzy, you know. It's just like you talk to your earthly father. Only this father has the ability to do it, and he loves you unconditionally. But if you love him and you're serving him and you have that relationship, your daddy's going to do things for you. He will. And he'll do what's best for you, and we have to see it that way. We need to have that intimacy, because if we see him as a God a trillion miles away, and maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't do it, and we think, well, I messed up today, so maybe he won't do it for me, we're not going to have confidence or faith towards anything. It's going to be truth. We'll speak it, but we won't actually believe it in our hearts. So we need to see him as our daddy, a loving father, you see. So we need to recognize these things. This is what's happening today in this world. And if we hold these verses, I just passed a few minutes, and claim these things, have an intimate relationship with him, this would be the greatest time that you and I have ever experienced in the world. It would be the greatest time before Jesus comes, the greatest revival. So, folks, don't be downhearted, discouraged what you hear, or think you're going to get down the tubes. Because if you love Jesus Christ and you're committed to him, you can't get down. Because for you to go down would mean for God to go down. We know God won't go down. So be encouraged there. He said that we're to be of good cheer. He said he's overcome the world, so he said be of good cheer. You know, many are afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord has delivered him out of them all. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I've overcame him, you say. He's overcame all those things, and he overcame them so you and I can overcome them also. What Jesus did, he did for us, and all we have to do is just follow our leader, and we're an overcomer too. We're more than a conqueror. Remember we said a couple weeks ago, more than a conqueror means that you are following somebody that already conquered. It doesn't mean like a conqueror. I could say, well, I'm a conqueror. Well, yes, I'm a conqueror, but I'm following the one that conquered, so I'm just following his footsteps, what he already did for me, see. I didn't conquer. He conquered it, so there I can just claim his promises, and he is in me, and I just walk with him through me, getting me through these things, see. Not my own power, not my own wisdom and strength, but him. And you see, that gives you courage, doesn't it? That gives you courage that, hey, you're not facing anything yourself. You're not facing a thing yourself. Everything that he has already done, he's going to do through you. He's inside you. The greater one's inside you. So greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So we have nothing to fear or nothing to worry about. Okay? Luke 10, 19 and 20. Now, we read that verse a few minutes ago that I spoke about that, but we're going to read that again. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Satan is subjected to you and I. Sometimes you've heard people say, well, the devil did this, and the devil stopped me here, and the devil did that. Well, you know, if God would say something to you, you know what he would say to you or I if we say that? He'd say, well, son, daughter, I gave you authority. What do you mean he stopped you? I gave you authority to stop him in my son's name. You see, you have power over him when he attacks you. You have authority over him. But you just need to know, we just need to know when it's him doing something and then use the authority that God has given us over him. That's why he's given us authority, because he knew, God knew that he was going to be attacking us. But he's given us authority so that his attacks won't hurt us, you see. He's given us the wisdom so we won't fall into those attacks and be hurt. So he said, don't rejoice in this, though. He said, that is wonderful. I've given you this authority, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven, that you're a candidate. You're coming to heaven with me someday. So that's the most important thing. There isn't anything in the Bible more important than being in heaven with the Lord someday, going to heaven instead of going to hell. That's the ultimate thing, and that's what Jesus came for. That was the ultimate thing that he came for, to destroy the works of Satan, but to redeem us back to the Father, that we wouldn't go to hell, but we would go to heaven with him someday. Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about is Matthew 18:18 and 18:19. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You know that scripture, a lot of times people don't really understand that scripture, what it's really saying. But you know, what it's really telling you and I is what we bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. In other words, we do it according to the word, and it's already done. Well, it's a set law in heaven. All we have to do is speak it out. It's already bound, you see. We don't bind it in the sense that we're just doing it now. It's already agreed that it's done there. All we do is say it, and it becomes a reality of whatever we're doing, whatever we're binding. So whatever we bind in earth is bound in heaven. What we loose in earth is loose in heaven, you see. So when we use that, we're using it according to God's word, and that simply means that what God's word says, we act upon it, and it happens if we do it in faith. If we do it in faith, it works. It works. Matthew 18:19 tells us that if, he says, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Okay, that's a prayer of agreement with two people. If any two people agree according to God's word on this earth of anything it is, his word declares, if we agree, it will be done by them of my Father in heaven. If you ask the Father in my name and you're in agreement with somebody, I will do it, according to my word. I will do it, you see. He didn't say I might do it, but I will do it. In other words, he said you can take it to the bank. If you agree exactly according to God's word, both of you having a right heart, in the name of Jesus, it will happen. You expect it to happen when you do it. You expect it. You don't say, well, I sure hope this works when you pray. No, never say that, because if you don't believe it, you see, it's not going to happen. You must expect it, or otherwise you're just wasting prayer. That's why a lot of times when people say, well, pray for me, pray for me. And I believe in praying for people. Don't misunderstand me. But so often the time they think this prayer will do it, and that won't. Prayer will not do it alone. We must have faith in that prayer, you see. We must have faith, because if we don't use faith in that prayer and expectation and sometimes patience, we have to stand in that prayer to remain constant and expecting to the time it manifests, it won't work. So just saying it and saying it and saying it doesn't work unless we have faith behind it, you see. So I will pray for you in faith. I'll pray and I'll believe with you. I'll pray and believe. I like to say that many times when I'm talking to people, because if I didn't say I'm praying, I could say, Lord, do this, Lord, do that. And if I don't have any expectations, I'm just rolling a lot of words off there. It really doesn't mean anything. So we need to be serious about it. It's a request we're making. And we're making a request to the Father. So we need to handle it in a way like that and take each request seriously. Okay, here's another verse that I love this verse. This is a special verse, really. And it began really when we got saved in Philippians 1:6, another precious promise. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, that good work began in you and I whenever we received Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And he said it began and it will stay and it will continue until you leave this earth. Now, we can stop it from continuing if we disobey the Lord. In other words, if we walk away from the Lord and say, I just don't want to do it anymore, I give up. I quit, then it wouldn't happen, you see. But he said it will continue until you leave this earth. So all you and I have to do is continue to follow the Lord and to stay true to him and follow him, you see, and not give up and not quit. If you continue on faithfully and believe and have a right heart, you go forth, he will complete that job. When God starts something in you, when he starts something in me, he aims to finish it, you know. Just like when he told the disciples, he said, let's go to the other side. You know, in the boat, he said, we're going to go to the other side. And remember the story where they were going across there and the storm came up and he was laying down with his head in the pillar. And anyhow, the storm came up and the disciples were afraid. They went down and woke him up and everything. And, of course, he actually told them about it. And then next thing after that was all done, he calmed the storm and then he got to the other side. So what I said to say this is, when he said we're going to the other side, that storm wasn't about to stop him from going to the other side. Nothing was going to stop him. When Jesus said we're going to the other side, just like he tells you, you're going to do this, you're going to do it, you see. You're going to do it. If you follow him, you're going to get to the other side, just like they did in the ship there. They had the storm. It looked like it was going to blow the ship over, the boat that they went over. It was really a bad storm. But yet Jesus said we're going to the other side. And when Jesus said that, he will continue it. In other words, he'll finish the project there. He's not going to get half or three quarters of the way through and then scrap it out. You see, man does that. People do that. They quit. But God doesn't quit. The only way that God doesn't complete things is when you and I quit. We can go as far in God, or God will go as far as us as we allow him to. We allow or disallow God to do things, you see. But everything with God is always final, is always complete. He does it right to the T. There isn't one T on cross or not one I undotted that isn't happening or has happened, because everything is in perfection. You know, it's just like Elijah and Elisha. When we talk about perfection, remember Elisha asked for a double portion of what Elijah had, as far as miracles and things, and God didn't give him a little over that or a little under that. He gave him exactly double portion, because Elijah performed 8 miracles, Elisha 16 miracles, so he gave him exactly what it was. He pinpoints those things. He does what he says he's going to do. He means what he says and says what he means. Matter of fact, God mostly gives overflows. A lot of times it's far beyond what we expect or anything. He's just an overflowing God. He wants to overflow us with blessings that we'll have much more to give out. You see, he didn't want us to keep it for ourselves. He wants us to share it and use it in others to further the gospel. He gives us power to get wealth that we can establish his covenant, you see, and that's what it's all about. Okay, there's another scripture here I'd like to share with you, a precious promise right here. That one there, but really hold on to. Know that he's going to complete in you. You could have had a dream for a long time, and maybe you're halfway through it, maybe you've backed off of it, and you've kind of given up on it. If he promised you something, if you stay with him and just go back to whatever you left off at, say, Lord, I'm willing to pick this thing back up. Forgive me, Lord. You complete what you finish in me. If you're willing to do that, he'll meet you where you're at, and he'll take you through, because you could have quit something. You could quit or stop something, but God had a purpose to take you through that and to complete it in you, but you got discouraged. You quit. It didn't work out. Circumstances came against you, but know that he wants to complete anything he told you. He didn't take you and promise you something, and then you get halfway through, and then you quit. He wants to see you through it. So you need to seek his face in something like that. If you left something that you felt that he wanted to take you to complete, but yet you didn't complete it. You need to seek his face in that, because many times we've aborted things that God began and wanted to complete something in our lives, you see. So we need to be very careful with those things, but just know that he will complete it in you, but just you stand fast and stand faithful. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content in such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that is a good one, because it seems like when we're hit with the storms of life and we don't feel his presence like we think we should, and we just, things don't seem to be happening, and it just seems to be negative every way we look, you know, the enemy uses that. And if we are going by feelings, we don't live by faith. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. But if we're going by feelings, what we feel, what we think, or what circumstances are, that's the best time for a pity party or get discouraged. But you and I have to remember, no matter what we feel, see, smell, taste, or circumstances, I will never leave you or I'll never forsake you. Practice his presence. When you feel like that, just start praising the Lord. Just praise him. Just worship him. Raise your hand. Thank him. Praise him. And just tell him how much you love him and how great a God he is. And as you do that, you'll feel his presence. You'll sense his presence with you. You see, that's the time to praise the Lord, not to run from him, or not to say, well, I guess you've given up on me, God, and go the other way and forget about him, you see. So we need to do that. We need to put these things into practice, because that's an attack of the enemy. Matter of fact, I believe God sometimes actually withdraws himself from us like that purposely to mature us, that we aren't going by these feelings that we have. You know, some kind of a feeling and we say, oh, I've sent him, I feel him, he's here. But does he want us to believe that he's here because he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you? He wants you to believe that word no matter what you see, feel, or taste, or what is happening, and he's with you, you see. He's trying to mature us that we're not moved by what we hear and feel, what people say to us, what our circumstances are, things that appear like we failed or whatever. He wants us to stand pat, saying, I know you're there, Lord, and I'm going to go with you. Just show me, and I'm going to stand fast, and I'm going to follow you. And he will meet you where you're at. But the key is to stay there and stand there and recognize not what you feel. Matter of fact, I've learned the time that it appears that God is doing nothing, it seems like your life is at a standstill, is the time he's doing the most. Really, at the time he's doing the most is the time you least think. That's just like sometimes I've had times I thought I'd preached a message, and anyhow, excuse me, I preached a message, I thought it was a bomber. It messed it up. It wasn't good. And I found out what happened afterwards. You know, people would come up to me about the thing and what God had did through it. And I recognized that God had other things planned for me to say and to do, but it wasn't by what I thought. And I left my thoughts enter in and say, well, I blew it because I didn't do it the way I thought. But God said, I didn't want you to do it the way you thought. I wanted you to do it the way I said, because my thoughts and ways are above yours. They're better than yours, son. You see? So we have to get into that realm when it comes to the things of God. We have to stop putting our thoughts and what our so-called wisdom is. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts and our words and everything except what he does, you say. So remember, he'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. The other scripture we covered here somewhat a while ago is God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble, Psalms 46:1. And that's a scripture, you know, you can take to the bank with you also, and you can say no matter what circumstance or situation you get into, God always makes a way right where you're at, no matter how bad or how good. I have used and practiced this scripture. Believe me, I've had many years' experience with this and been involved with this. I know what I'm talking about and teaching about is what I've went through and seen the victory. I don't just preach and teach the word. I'm talking from experience. I've had 46 years' experience. I've had a lot of experience in a lot of things, and I know what works. I know what doesn't work, and I don't know. In other words, I'm not trying to tell you I know it all or anything like that, because I don't. In fact, the more I learn, the more or the less I realize that I know. The more I learn, the less I realize I really know. And that's what happens to you. You know, as you grow and learn in the Lord, you just discover how little you do know and just how dependent you are on the Lord. You really become smaller. It's a humbling thing. The more successful, the more victorious you are, the more humble you should become, because you recognize how nothing you are and how great he is. It doesn't exalt you or make you big-headed. That's only if you become proud, if you allow pride to come in. But when you see it for the way it actually does it, the way God wants it to do it, you become humble. You become humble, and you recognize how little you know and how much you really are. You realize, like Paul said, he said, I'm nothing. You are everything, Lord. I am nothing, you see. And you really believe that, too, because it shows that to you. Okay? He said in James 4:10, he said, we're to humble ourselves and say to the Lord, and he will lift us up. You know, humility comes before honor, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 15:33. Humility before honor. And you know, if you're not humble, how can you be honored? People honor you if you're proud. You're going to want you. In other words, if you're a proud person, when you get honored with something, you're going to say, wow, look at me, I'm this, I'm that. You're going to really think yourself something, you say. But when you humble yourself and really know what you really are, then God can pour all this out on you, because it won't affect you, because your stand remains the same no matter how great or how small or whatever you have or whatever you get, whether it's materially, spiritually, whatever it is, because you're going to have a humble spirit. You're going to be humble if they give the whole world to you, say. You're going to have that because you're going to know who your God is and you're going to know who you are. When you know who you are and you know who your God is, you see, you know who you are with him and know who you are without him, then you're not going to have pride. You're not going to have an issue of pride, you see. You're going to know who you are. And that's why most people have a lot of problems, because they don't know their identity in Jesus Christ. They don't know who they really are in Jesus. They don't know who they are really without him. It's true. They don't know who they are with him. And that's what causes a lot of problems. That's where pride comes in, and jealousy and competition and strife and all imaginary, all terrible things that happen like that through not knowing who we are. In Matthew 11:28, another precious promise, he says, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're heavy laden or troubled about something, he said, come to me. And that's initially being saved. But, you know, that begins with salvation, because we definitely were heavy laden before we got saved. But I'm speaking about now, if we're born again, we know the Lord. There's times that if we're not careful, we can have a tendency to feel a burden on our chest that's heavy, and we don't know where it comes from time to time. And we must be able to cast that care. If we know what it is or whatever happens, and if we don't know what it is, we need to recognize a lot of times that's a spirit of Satan. That's an evil force there to try to discourage you, a hindering spirit. And a lot of times praise will come. Sometimes we have to use God's word. He said God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We just cast it out and quote his word. But if we do know where the problem is, we have to learn how to cast that care upon him, because he cares for us. We're to cast our care upon him. We're to give him our food, and he will give us something light, because he wants to take care of our life, but he wants us to seek first the kingdom and take care of his business, you see. Jesus said, I got business for you. I got a plan for your life. You do what I want you to do, but I'm going to take care of what you have need of. Don't be fearful of food, shelter, or raiment. But he said, do what I want you to do, and I'm going to meet you where you're at, you see. I'd rather have him taking care of my business than me taking care of my business, because he can do a better job, can't he? Amen. And it's for sure he can do a better job than what I would do for him. But he's inside me. He enables me to do his business. So he's actually doing it through me. All I am is a willing vessel that he can work through me, you see. So he's doing it all if you really want to get serious about it. He's taking care of you, and his anointing in you is getting the job done he wants to do through you. So he's doing it all. All you are is a vessel. Your feet and hands and mouth to him, you see. That's what you are to him there, and be in obedience to him. Okay. Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp to thy feet and a light unto thy path. That puts light in our feet, you know, where we are at. Where we're at, we see where we are as a light. It's a glowing light. And when he says putting a light to our path, that means we can see where we're going. We're not guessing or hoping so, but we see where we're headed. Now, it's true we don't always know where we're going, but yet that path is always lit for us. So we're not going to stumble and fall. We're going to be clear lit. We'll know that we're headed the right direction, you see. You can know you're headed the right direction even though you don't know where you're going. And many times it is that way. You know, in fact, Abraham was that way. He knew he was headed someplace, but he didn't know where he was going completely. And I find myself in that place too. Many times I know God is leading me, but I couldn't tell you where. And many of you would say the same thing to me, because he doesn't tell us this thing. That's why he says, well, listen, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. And if you trust me, I'll just give you the witness of the Holy Spirit, and that will be your guide. You'll know that I'm leading you, and that'll be sufficient, because that should be sufficient for you just to know that I'm leading you. And therefore, you'll know everything's going to be all right, because he said he that began a work in you will continue till the Lord comes back. So he's going to complete the work. So you can take that scripture there and know, hey, he's going to complete this job in me. All I have to do is continue. All I have to do is continue in that. And if I continue in that right there, I'm going to get the victory. I'm going to have the victory. I'm going to get to the destination where he's taking me. So you see, that's a confidence builder right there. Luke 21:19 says, and your patience possess you, your souls. Now, in your patience possess you, your souls, really, patience means cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. So that means when we're patient, we're not complaining or murmuring, but we're patient to receive a promise from God, or we're waiting on God for something or something to that order. We are patient about it, but we're cheerful about it, and we continue on, you see. We must continue on that way, because if we have a negative attitude or negative words, we're like the children of Israel. We complain and we murmur. They say, oh, Lord, this is taking so long. Why so long, Lord? But the thing about it is, if we're patient and cheerful about it, then we just continue on, you see. In fact, the Word of God teaches us, those that wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. He said, those that wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. And the thing about that, in Isaiah 40:31 is this: to wait upon the Lord doesn't mean to sit there and wait. That means to continue doing what you're doing. He'll renew your strength. And you know what I really call that, and I've talked about that before. Renewing our strength, wait upon the Lord, is giving you your second wind. You can be about ready to collapse. You might feel it. You're going forth, and man, nothing is happening. It's not working. But you continue on. If you continue on, the promise is if you continue, I'm going to give you a new strength. You're going to start. You're going to be stronger than you were before you began. In other words, you come to a place sometimes, and I'll use this as an example. I've had times when I dare to get up to the pulpit that a few times when I didn't really feel up to doing it. I just didn't feel like I was drug out or tired. And anyhow, when I get up there, God gave me a second wind, and I felt stronger than I felt even all that day, and just really great, you know. In other words, like a second wind, it was stronger than before. And that's anything that you do, you know. You come to a place sometimes you become weary. But then when you just say, now, Lord, I ask you to renew me. I'm going to continue to go on as you direct me here. Give me that strength. Revitalize me. And when you ask him to help you, he revitalizes. It's a second wind. You see, just like the world calls it, a second wind there. So the thing is, we can be renewed as we wait upon the Lord. We don't have to give up and quit and miss out on. Now, it's true, there's time that we need to take a rest and things. I'm not saying keep going on, you just push your body. But I'm talking about times that we would be giving up and quitting and just not going on, that he just don't have the energy, it seems, for it in our spirit as well as our physical. And that's when he'll renew us to go forward. Because anything that God wants to do and anything he wants to complete, he always gives you the ability to do. He gives you the ability and provision for all that he calls you to do. The ability and the provision. Now, there's another scripture. It's beautiful here. Proverbs 18:21, another precious promise. That's what we're talking about, the promises of God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We can speak life. We can speak death by our mouths. And what we speak is what comes back to us, you see. And we eat the fruit of it, it says right there. So I got to make sure. I have to make sure that I'm speaking what God's word says, not what Satan's word would say, because people literally can talk themselves to death. They can talk themselves into failing. They can talk themselves into discouragement. They can talk themselves into sickness. Some people say, I just know that I'm going to catch the flu. This is flu season. You know, they'll say in the wintertime, some of them people will say that. And they talk that, and they talk it, and they believe it, and what happens? They get it, they say. But if you talk that I'm going to stay well, I'm healed by Jesus Christ, but I'm well, God wants me well, you speak his word, it's going to work the other way. So you see, it works the good way with God, the negative way with Satan. So we have the choice. It can be death or life, just like it says. So we have to be very careful the words we say. That's why we have to recognize, like it said in the book of James, he said, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. James 1:19, slow to wrath and slow to speak. And the reason we should be slow to speak is you and I need to weigh our words a little more carefully. Think before we speak. In fact, that happened to me that last week, and I said there's two scriptures that I mentioned in the beginning there that I misquoted the location. I spoke before I thought. And anyhow, I misquoted those two. I didn't misquote the scripture, but I misquoted the location of them. So you see, you can mess up when you do things like that. So we have to recognize things like that. We need to weigh our words more carefully and weigh your actions carefully. Don't act in so quickly, because the Bible tells us we're foolish if we do that. It tells us we're going to get ourselves into trouble. But think before you act. Think before you speak. Because we'd save a lot of grief and a lot of problems to ourselves if we would do that. And I think we'd have a lot less problems with others, because how we act and speak and react to others many times is what causes problems. So that's something you and I need to recognize. Let's be a little bit more observant and examine those things before we speak. And that way we're going to find out we have a lot less problems that way. Okay. Matthew 12:37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, every word we say, the Lord hears, and he knows every word. And we're going to be justified or condemned by those words. In other words, he holds us account. We ask forgiveness, we receive forgiveness. We're accountable for those things by our words that we say. Those words we really can't take back. When we speak them, they continue to go out in space, you see. words that we say, they continue to go on. So it's really a serious matter when you think about how important the death and life and the power of the tongue, and by our words are justified or condemned, how important it is that we weigh our words. And if there's anything in my life that I would like to do and I could like to undo, would be that particular thing right there. I like to undo some of the things that I said, and I know you would too. There isn't a man alive that wouldn't have liked to undo some things that they said and did like that. But we can't do anything about our past except receive forgiveness. But what are we going to do in the future? You see, that's what we do now. It's what we do now. You know, we can't look back in the past and beat up ourselves because actually we receive forgiveness from God. He not only forgives us, but he forgets it. We must learn to forgive ourselves and then forget the thing and then start a new track and do our best as we go forward in the Lord to be closer to Jesus and be more like Jesus, you see. That's what it's about. And we do that by loving him, allowing him to live through us and worshiping him, you see. It isn't on your own strength or trying to do something. It's a matter of just loving him and allow his love to come into you and to fill you and to strengthen you, you see. Perfect love casts out fear, and he that fears not make perfect in love, like I quoted a little earlier ago in 1 John 4:18. We're not made perfect in love if those things are in us, because if we know the true love of Jesus in our hearts, it's going to take those things out. We won't even consider them. So when you have the love of Jesus in you, you don't consider the negative stuff. You don't consider sin. You don't consider anything that's negative. You just want to do the right thing. And you recognize that you are very keen to these things. You wouldn't hurt your father for anything, you see. You wouldn't disappoint your father. And that's what it's about. Okay? It says, and I quoted the scripture just a little bit ago in James 1:19 about being slow to speak. And that's so very, very important. Now, 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things that thou may prosper, be in health even as thy soul prospers. Okay, our soul is our being, our intellect, our thoughts, our decision-making process, our mind. As we prosper, he says, as your soul prospers, he says, health and the other things will prosper. So in other words, we can't really prosper in anything unless we prosper in our soul. Joshua 1:8 says, we're to meditate upon God's word day and night that we can make ourselves successful, prosperous and successful. And it's the word of God that takes us to that place, you see, in obedience to his word. It's obedience to the word of God that takes us there. And we prosper through the word. The word is what enlightens us, provides for us, directs us, blesses us, you see. It's in the word, in Jesus Christ, that all this happens. Not outside of Jesus Christ or some type of 1-2 method, you know, do step 1, then step 2, then step 3 will work. No, the step is a relationship with Jesus Christ, an intimate relationship with him and being led by the Holy Spirit and just simply applying his word to your life. It's not a magical scheme or a hocus-pocus type thing. It's a committed thing, you see. It's a thing that many people, it's so simple that people complicate it because they don't want to be obedient to it. They think, well, hey, I can do another way, and they complicate it. But, you know, it's really simple. He said, come to me as a child, childlike faith, childlike attitude, and receive these simple things. And as you receive these and do them, he said, I will do this for you. But we try to explain it away or try to explain it in a way that you and I don't have to practice it and try to get away from doing it, you see. And that's what complicates it. Okay, he says, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. You know, there again, there's where trust comes in. And that's a big verse there when you stop and think about it. That means everything you're experiencing. Now, at times, you know, if the enemy attacks you, we're not talking about this. You have to use the word of God and recognize there's times that happens. But in generally speaking, the things that happen in your life are for a purpose. And if you take those things and you apply them to your life and purpose and learn and grow from them, they're going to work for the good for your life because you're going to learn through many of those things. Hard trials, ordeals, circumstances appeared negative. In other words, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. And you're going to become enriched by those things in your spirit, man. You're going to gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that you're going to be a help to others around you, you see. What you experience in your life, you can share with others. And, of course, they might be going through that same thing, and you'll be able to help them. So don't look at the trials and tribulations that you went through as a hard task, or it was terrible what I experienced. Oh, my, I went through hard things. So we have a tendency to say that if we're not careful. My, I've been through so much. Oh, so many things. Oh, mercy. But yet, we go through them in Jesus. That's more testimony. They're tests. It gives us testimonies, you see. We have testimonies. We have muscles. We have spiritual muscles if we retain them, you see. And that's why it's so important to face them by the Word of God, because if you do this, what's going to happen is you're going to gain spiritual muscles. God is going to take you to a higher level. You're going to be matured, and God's going to be able to use you in a greater way, because the more you learn and grow and the stronger you become, the more effective you are for Jesus Christ, the more you're going to look like Jesus Christ, you see. So take these things as building your character, as building you. Don't look at it as a way that just I'm being torn down, because when you're challenged, that's why you have a promise there. If you use a promise of God against that challenge, and then just use it by faith, and then just leave God do what he would do, and just continue being faithful to him, continue to praise the Lord, continue to stand, because he's going to get you through it, whatever it is, you see. I've never seen him fail yet, and I don't think any one of you could say you did either, because he never fails. God doesn't fail. So we have to do that. And this is a good way to follow it. You know, Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart. Have a merry heart. Have a merry heart in Jesus Christ. Be merry in him. In him, not because of your circumstances, your life, or what's going on, but in Jesus. Just be in his presence. His love, just like his love and caring for you, as you enter into praise with him and looking at him and just seeing him, let that strengthen you. Let that bless you, give you that joy. Because if you do that, you're going to find yourself joyful inside. You're going to have to be joyful with a smile on your face. And then when you first start doing this, your mind is going to say, what in the world are you smiling and so happy about? Look what you're going through, and you're joyful and smiling. Look at this, look at that, because that'll mess your mind up. Your mind says, what in the world is going on? Well, you see, there's something stronger in your mind, and that is your spirit man, you see. And your spirit man is what's in who you live out of. So therefore, that mind will change, because you renew your mind according to the Word of God. You just tell that mind and educate that mind what's going on in your spirit, you see, by the Word of God. But this is what happens. It works out of your spirit, man. You sense that thing, and which is really an evidence right there. It's a proof of you that can relate to what I'm saying here, how you felt many times in your spirit so joyful and everything, but yet your life certainly wasn't where it should be at in the realm of your needs or whatever, your circumstances, which shows you can live above your circumstances, you see. Learn to be content whatever state you're in. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not a joy of the Lord isn't just for a certain period of time. You're to live 24/7 in the joy of the Lord. And if you're in Jesus Christ and his love, you will maintain that joy. You won't be moved by your circumstances. Not that you don't feel them or something like this, but you commit the things to the Lord, and you still maintain that joy of the Lord in your heart. Okay, I just have a few more scriptures. I'm just going over a few promises here. And next week I have more promises to be covering and everything. But here's another good one. He says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what Nehemiah said there, Nehemiah 8:10, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you have that joy, you have strength, you have boldness, you have that capability and encouragement to go forth, you see. That's your motivator. That joy motivates the things of God. Because if you don't have that joy, you can't really be very beneficial to God, because people look at your face, and if they see your face and you don't have that joy and that smile on it, they're not going to want anything to do with you. They're going to say, hey, I'm in better shape than you are. And here you are talking about Jesus, and you look sad and sour and unhappy. We show Jesus by our countenance many times. What we have within, many people say, well, I'm smiling on the inside, but I'm frowning on the outside. I can't say I completely agree with that, because when you have the joy of the Lord, when you have that joy in your heart, there's a certain joy that's on your face, there's a countenance on there that you can see that. People identify with that, you see. People know those things. There's things that they sense, even if they're not saved, they can see something different in you. And you're going to reflect that. You're going to reflect what you have inside on the outer part of you, you see. It will show on the outside. What you have inside will show and come out on the outside. Now, Romans 3:4 tells us, it says, God forbid, yea, that let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Okay, let every man be a liar, and the word of God be true, he said. Let every man lie, and the word of God be true. Never take what a man says. I don't care who he is or who a woman is that would say it, that is not backed up by the Word of God. It's not a godly principle, a word from God. Never accept it unless it's backed up by the Word of God. I don't care who says it. Too many people today are looking at a man or woman's person, and they're accepting it because they said it. And I've seen some people lately, and over the years, fall that had big names or famous people. And if you would have listened to what they said, you could have been led astray. And I know there's some today are leading people astray. I know definitely they are. And I see them, what's going on. But sometimes people say, well, so-and-so said that, that must be right. Don't let the size of their church, don't let the size of their bank account, how famous they are, or who how well-known they are, or anything like that, sway what you believe, you see. You must take what the Word of God says. I don't care who they are. If they're right, they're right. If they're wrong, they're wrong. I don't care who they are. That's the way I feel. That's the way I see it. I don't care who a person is. If they say something that's wrong, I'm going to tell them it's wrong. If they're talking to me about something we talk, I'm not going to say, well, they're a person. No, no. Let all men be liars and God's word be true. If I say something wrong, I want somebody to tell me about it. I want corrected when I'm wrong, you see. And I'm sure most of these people that want corrected unless they're not doing the right thing. And some of them might be offended because they're not following the Lord the way they should. But I'd rather be corrected on earth than I would in heaven by the Lord. I'd rather have somebody correct me here where I can correct my mistake and get it right, you see. So never accept a man or woman's person and what you believe. It's always the Lord. Don't try to pattern yourself after anybody because you are an original. God has a plan for your life that only you can do. Be the best you can be in the plan that God has given you because your personality, your gifting, and your life is what God is building around the calling he has for you. And be one that sets the pace or the standard for what God has called you to do. Matter of fact, many men and women that were successful started out that very same way. They just simply did what they were called to do, and they honed it, and they became proficient at it. God blessed it and used it. Now they're in a certain position. But they didn't try to pattern themselves after somebody. It's true, people, we have influences on one another. This is true. But never pattern yourself. Only pattern yourself after Jesus, and then just be the best you can be for what God wants you to do. Don't go above or don't go below your calling, but just stay where you're at. Be content in that calling, but only do it the best of your ability. And if you do that, God will bless you, you see, and you'll be what you should be. Because that's what you're going to be rewarded on, what God has called you to do. You're wasting your time, and you're in for a lot of misery, and you try to do something the way somebody else does, because what will happen, you'll fail. And that is a hard thing to do, to fail and fall short of something because you're trying to do something God isn't in. And remember what we said a little bit ago, if God is in it, he's going to bless it. But if he's not going to bless it, you say. And all you can do is be on your own strength. And you know where that leads to. So let all men be liars and the word of God be true and follow Jesus Christ. Now the last verse, John 8:32. And you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Okay, you shall know it. You can know it where you can say the word of God says by Jesus stripes you are healed. But that's knowing it by quoting it or knowing it in your head. But you've got to know that you know that God's stripes healed you. You are healed. You're not going to be healed. You're healed. In fact, you're the well that the devil's trying to make sick. You are healed. You are healed. You're not going to be healed. You are healed. You are healed. By his stripes, you're healed. The trust of truth, you see. And when you know that truth that I'm healed, and that's it, and I've got it. I've got it. It will happen, you see. But you have to be convinced that you have it, not that you're going to get it. I already got it. If you believe that and stand upon that, because Mark 11:24 says the thing that we desire when we pray, believe that we receive and we will have it. So we believe that in the heart, and then you confess it out of your mouth. And as you believe that in your heart and continue to confess it, it becomes stronger and stronger, and then all of a sudden it's going to manifest. Sometimes miraculously things happen. Other times it takes a little time. But no matter what, that is a pathway to receiving from God, you see. Is to believe it and say it. Believe it and say it. In other words, it's not going to happen, but it happens when you pray. Faith is always now. It always begins now, not tomorrow. Hope is tomorrow. Faith always now is. It now is right now. When you pray, it's done. It began in the spirit world, and you consider it done. I've got it now, even though it didn't manifest in the natural world yet. I've got it. I thank you for it. Your word says it. Quote that word. Speak it. Just continue to say it. Just think nothing, but I've got it. Don't even consider still needing it. If you act like you still need it, then you never believe that you got it. But it doesn't begin in the spirit world, and you don't want to turn it off. So accept the fact that you have it. That's where most Christians fail, because most Christians talk about they believe they're healed, they believe that. I hear them talk about they're still sick. I'm saying, oh, do you believe you're healed, or are you still sick? You see, that's just really, that's common sense. You know, that's a spiritual truth, but it's really common sense. If you believe something, you're going to believe it, aren't you? You're not going to say contrary to what it is. So we got to watch our mouth, because what we read a little bit ago, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? So we have to watch what we talk. We talk ourselves out of a lot of things. So this is what God's Word says. So what we need to do, we need to learn to take the promises of God seriously. First of all, we need that relationship. And one of the promises, I think the greatest promise he gave us was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So in other words, if we believe that Jesus died for us, buried, rose, and resurrected for us, if he did that and we believe that we're sinners, we can ask him to come into our heart, forgive us, repent, and receive him as Savior. That's the greatest promise. So right now, before I close, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior right now, Lord and Savior. So if you feel right now you'd like your life to be changed, you want a new life, you're tired of living the way you've lived, you want a change of life, you want Jesus in your heart, just say, yes, I want him in my heart, because I heard these things you said, but they don't really apply to me because I don't know this Jesus. Well, if you just simply believe that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus loves you and want to turn your life around, want to turn around and say, Lord, I believe that you died for me, you were buried, and you resurrected for me, and then ask him to come into your life, he'll come into your life and save you. But you have to believe it. So I'm going to leave you in a little short prayer. And if you mean what you're going to say here, repeating the words that I say, if you mean that in your heart, you'll be saved. Not just saying the words, but if you speak that in your heart, you are saved, you say. So just follow me in prayer now if you want to receive Christ. Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent. I want my life to be turned around. I believe that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. He shed his blood. He died. He was buried. And he was resurrected for me. And right now, Lord, I ask you to come into my life. I ask Jesus into my life right now to be my Savior. And then also, not only my Savior, to be the Lord also of my life. And Lord, you said that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I call upon you now, Lord, to save me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I believe that I'm saved because I've asked you to come into my life, my heart, to change me. And Lord, I accept the fact that I've asked you in and I am saved. I thank you that I'm saved. And Lord, I ask you to be Lord of my life, just to take over my life completely. I am yours from this night forward in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, if you repeated that and mean that in your heart, program is off right here. Just go in and you can read in the Bible, the Gospel of St. John. You can start with that. And in fact, what would be better, I'm going to say this evening, anybody that has any questions, any comments, any testimonies, would just like to just tell us you're out there, that you're listening, and what God has done for you through this program, I'm going to ask you to contact me on my email or my website. If you look on the pictures there, the slides right there below it, you'll see my website, which is www.extendedhandsofjesus.org. And you'll also see my email number, which is extendedhandsofjesus@yahoo.com. But they're down below you. You can read that if you just scroll down. But just contact me there, and I will get back with you. If you give me a phone number, I'll give you a call or whatever. But just contact me. And even if you want to just send me an email and just tell me you appreciate the program or whatever it is, but just contact, because we have no really way of knowing completely what's going on unless you tell us, you see. And, of course, we are to testify what God does in our lives, so I'd like to hear testimonies from people and questions and things like that. So just scroll down there and just look at that, and you'll be able to contact us. And also, I'll tell you also, I have a book called Overpowering Influence of the Truth, which has changed many lives. God has used it in a mighty way. I have testimonies of it all over. It's not on this particular place here, but what God has done, and anyhow, God has done miraculous things through this book. So you can also go and see where this book is on it. It gives you the directions there, where to go, and you can look at it, you can order it. It makes an excellent book, I tell you, if you want to speak into somebody's life. And also, we are full-time ministers, my wife and I, and I have down at the bottom there, we accept love offerings right there. If you scroll down and see that, and it's through PayPal, or you can contact us on our website, and we can make a page for that for any love offerings you send, because we're living by faith. And of course, it takes money to go forward and everything, and God has opened many doors for us, but it takes money to do that. So I remind you that as the Lord would direct you, we're open for love offerings and for the book to be interested, and for your comments, questions, prayer requests, anything that you have to say, and you can see that down below. So I'm going to invite you all to really keep in contact with us and let us know what's happening on the program here. Not just my program, but the others that have programs too. They also want to hear just what good our programs are doing, because we're here to help each and every one of you. We're here to serve you and to leave you grow, see you grow and minister you and see God work mightily through you. And that's what it's all about, because we're not here just trying to exercise our giftings or talents or anything we might have, but we're here to help you. That's the whole purpose of this. So just keep that in mind, okay? Now, I'll remind you one more thing, and I'm going to sign off for the evening. Next week, also, we come on the same time at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. God's Word in Action is the name of the program. And I invite you back next week and invite others, because God wants to do mighty things through this program and through this ministry for you all. And that goes for the network here, the other ministers on here also. And we want to see as many people come on, see as many people saved, healed, delivered, and on fire for Jesus. So you invite the people on to listen, and we will see you all next week. And I just speak blessings over each and every one of you. And God bless each one. And we will see you next week now. And we'll be completing the series. We'll be number 4 next week of this program right here, okay? We'll see you next week. God bless you all. We love you.